I want to preach to you, teach to you. Really, I'm going to do a lot of teaching tonight as well on this subject. Jesus is better than Melchizedek. Jesus is better than Melchizedek. Melchizedek is somewhat of a mysterious man. I would venture to say some of you have heard his name. I would venture to say some of you know who he was. I would also guess that some of you don't know who he was. But some people think that maybe he was a real man. Or he was maybe Shem, one of Noah's sons. Or maybe he was the angel of the Lord appearing in the flesh. Maybe he was pre-incarnate Jesus. Six different times in the Bible, God says that Jesus was made a high priest after the order, which means in the likeness of this Melchizedek in Hebrews chapter 7. The New Testament, Matthew to Revelation, reveals many times what the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi, conceals. So, what's going on here in Hebrews chapter 7 is God is revealing to you and me a little bit about what's concealed in the Old Testament in Melchizedek's life. So stick your ribbon, your paper somewhere here, and go with me to Genesis, the very first book of the Bible there, and we're going to look at where Melchizedek first comes on the scene in the Bible. Genesis chapter 14. The Old Testament shows us about Melchizedek, but it says very little. And then, of course, we're going to see how the New Testament reveals things to us tonight. Genesis 14, look over in verse 14. When Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And here it is. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Now, so this is where Melchizedek first shows up in the Bible. Abraham had just won a battle against a very formidable foe by the name of King Chedorlaomer. The king had taken Abraham's little nephew Lot captive out of Sodom and all of his family and all of his goods. But Abraham found out. Abraham armed his servants, 318 of those servants, and went to rescue his kidnapped little nephew Lot. And they weren't soldiers, they weren't warriors, they were just servants that Abraham had trained in his own house as they had grown up in his house. Now, but the Bible tells us that Abraham won that battle. Okay, God, can I say it this way, against all odds, God gave that battle to Abraham. Okay, because with God, all things are possible. Amen. And the Bible tells us then that he won that victory, and he returned in verse 16. He brought back all the goods, brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. As Abraham returned, the king of Sodom went out to meet him, and then also this king of Salem, Melchizedek. Now, he blessed him. Look, the Bible says he brought forth bread and wine. He blessed him with material provisions. The Bible says in verse 19, he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Now, that possessor of heaven and earth is referring to Abraham, not God. So what's going on here is he's also, not only is he blessing him with provisions, he's prophesying. He's prophesying, and I'll get to that in a minute. And then he says in verse 20, And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And now he's honoring and glorifying God. So this man Melchizedek is very involved in this area, this time of Abraham's life. Here's what happened. Look, then verse 20 says, Abraham, he gave him tithes of all. Abraham gave him 10% of everything that he had brought back from the battle that God had given him. Now, some kind of mysterious man this was. He just shows up out of nowhere. We don't have any idea who he really is. He's called in verse 18, the priest of the Most High God. There were no priests yet. Right. The priesthood was not implemented until over in Leviticus, with the tribe of Levi. And that's several years from now. There is no priest yet, but yet this man's called a priest. Mysterious a little bit. He's also called the King of Salem. Now, if he's a priest, how can he be the king? If he's a king, how can he be the priest? There were no kings ever in the history of the Old Testament that were also a priest. And vice versa, there were no priests that were king. So even if they were priests, like he was, they certainly were never a king. Two different offices completely. So he's a little bit mysterious. He's also mysterious because this, hold on, is the first mention of tithing in the whole Bible. Yep. Giving of 10% of your earnings to this mysterious man who we really, in Genesis, he just shows up on the scene and then he vanishes again. And you don't hear from him again. Okay? So, go back to Hebrews with me. I want to show you where that's at. And go back to Hebrews. God, however, in the book of Hebrews, glory to God, is going to answer our questions tonight. Amen. He's going to answer our questions. He's going to teach us a lot, I promise you, by the grace of God. If I can do God any justice tonight, he wants to teach us some things. And so look back in Hebrews, look in chapter 6, right before where we began reading tonight, in chapter 6, verse 19. He says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So in other words, Melchizedek, the Bible says, Jesus was made a high priest forever after the order. Again, there's that verse, or that term again, after the order, or in the likeness of this man Melchizedek. In other words, what God's trying to tell us is this. Melchizedek is indeed just a man.
Yeah.
Okay, he's just a man, but God is using Melchizedek in his word, this book right here, the Bible, to help us grow, listen, in our knowledge of Jesus. Okay? The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 that we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the book, the Bible here, it stands to reason then that God is going to help us grow through the Word of God, His Word. So what He's doing is He's using a man. See, the Old Testament is full of pictures of Christ that aren't really Christ, but yet they teach us things about Christ. And they're types of Christ. For example, Abel's offering. Remember Cain and Abel?
Yeah.
Abel offered up a lamb, a sacrificial lamb. And that was a picture of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark was built to escape the judgment of God, and you had to be in the Ark in order to escape the judgment. You have to be in Christ in order to escape the coming judgment of God, the wrath of God that will fall on this world one day. Isaac was the promised seed.
Yep.
The promised seed of Abraham and Sarah. Isaac was a miracle child.
Amen.
Type of Christ. Joseph, in all of his trials, Joseph is probably the greatest type of Christ in the Old Testament when it comes to just studying his life. He was despised by his brethren. He was sold into slavery by his brethren. His own brothers, his family, he came into his own received him not. They despised him, they rejected him, they got rid of him, they counted him dead, but he came back one day, amen.
Amen.
And amen. And they, listen, they were humbled at what Joseph had done. And Moses is the deliverer. He came into Egypt and said, "Let my people go." Jesus came down from the portals of glory and came into the world and to ransom our souls from the devil. Pharaoh is a type of the devil. Moses is a beautiful picture of the Savior. The Passover lamb, the blood that had to be on the doorpost and lintels, that's a picture of Jesus Christ. Listen, that blood had to be applied to their door or they were never going to escape the judgment. That night, the death angel came to Egypt, and the only people, listen, even if the Jews did not put the blood, they were still affected by the death of their firstborn. Listen, the blood had to be applied. That Passover lamb, that blood is a type of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The man in the wilderness, it fell every day. It fed their souls, a type of Jesus. The rock in the wilderness gave them water, Jesus Christ. The tabernacle.
Yep.
The whole tabernacle. One of these days we're going to study that thing. It is such a blessing if you haven't studied it yet. But it is an amazing study to see. The tabernacle was what? Was the, what God said, I'm going to dwell with my people here in this tabernacle.
Amen.
Well, listen, how do you think God dwells with us right now? Okay. It's through His Son, Jesus Christ, in our hearts. Amen. Yeah. The tabernacle is a beautiful picture of Jesus. The brazen serpent. Remember, they were cursing God. They were murmuring and complaining about God, and they didn't want anything to do with God's judgment. It was all their fault, but it was blaming God for everything. And then God said, "Put up a serpent on a pole and a brass pole," which is brass is always a type of judgment in the Bible. And put up a serpent on that brass pole, and whoever looks upon that serpent, he will live. Amen. And that's Jesus. Look and live, my brother. Look and live, my brother. Live. Look to Jesus now. And Joshua is a perfect type. His name means Jesus in the Hebrew. He brought them into the promised land. Boaz. Oh man, Boaz. Oh, David. David was a picture of the warrior in Jesus Christ. Solomon was a picture of the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jonah. 3 days and three nights, amen. Jesus is just everywhere in your Bible, folks, okay? Everywhere. It's all about Jesus. But the reason that they're in there like that, now these are all real people, and these are all real events, but God is such an amazing God, and He works things together, like I like to use the word orchestrates things together. He makes things happen exactly like they're supposed to, so that we can see Jesus in His Word through all of these people. And Melchizedek is a prime example. So what can we learn about Jesus quickly? We can learn, number one, we see in Melchizedek the name of Jesus. Look in chapter 7, verse 2 there. It says, "To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation." So what we're doing, God is interpreting that name that you, maybe some of you are having a hard time assimilating. Melchizedek. Think about having to type that name over and over and over and over. I guess you get used to it. But anyway, in Melchizedek, we see the name. What God is saying is His name means, by interpretation, King of Righteousness. That's what His name means. You understand something? That Jesus Christ is the King of Righteousness. Right? That's His name. That's His name. And so in Melchizedek, we see right off the bat, even His name means Jesus, the King of Righteousness. I want you to see here, it also says in verse 2, the King of Righteousness, and after that, okay, after the King of Righteousness is reigning, after that also, look, King of Salem. So His name means King of Righteousness, but He rules in the kingdom of Salem, which is the kingdom of peace. Understand something, dearly beloved. There is no real peace until there is pure righteousness. That's Jesus Christ. Look with me in Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. Amen. We're going to study our Bibles tonight, so keep yourself awake a little bit. Turn the pages as much as you can. I know that you'll get, I promise you, each time you come to church around here anyway, you'll learn your Bible a little bit more, because we're always going to have this thing open and flipping these pages. Amen. Isaiah 32. And I'm talking like this to give you more time, okay? Isaiah 32, verse 17. I want you to get there. I want you to be able to see it with us, but I don't want you to feel rushed. Isaiah 32, verse 17. Look what it says. "The work of righteousness shall be peace." righteousness shall be peace. You know, the Bible says that only by pride cometh contention.
Yeah, right.
Anything that's not peaceful is because it's lacking righteousness.
Yeah.
Amen. And look at the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance. How long?
Forever.
Listen, when Jesus Christ comes back to this world to rule and reign and sit on his throne, by the way, in the kingdom of Salem, I'll talk about that in a minute, it's because he is righteousness, amen. He is the king of righteousness, and he will rule in a kingdom where there will be peace because of his righteousness. And that is the effect of righteousness.
Amen.
So many people come to Christ, and all of their looking for is a fire escape out of hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're looking for me. Jesus, solve all my problems. Jesus, fix all of my heartaches and my problems. And they're not concerned, maybe they're just not taught, or maybe they don't understand what the problem is. Unrighteousness.
Yeah.
That's why you have heartaches. That's why you have problems. That's why you are brokenhearted. That's why this world is so rough, because the unrighteousness of man that is in every one of our hearts causes a complete lack of peace. There will never be peace until there's first pure righteousness.
Amen.
And boy, that is going to happen.
That's right.
One day.
Yep. Come on.
And that's worth getting excited about. Look in Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48, verse 22. I can't preach all these, or I'm going to be here all night, so I've got to hurry. Isaiah 48, verse 22. But man, we're talking about Jesus, amen. We're seeing Jesus in Melchizedek. That's the whole point of this. Isaiah 48, look in verse 22. There is how much peace?
No.
Saith the Lord unto the wicked. You know what the wicked is? The person with an unrighteous heart. The person that lives an unrighteous life. That's why there's no peace in our world. That's why there's no peace in 99% of homes tonight. It's not because they can't have it. It's not because they just aren't able to get it. It's because they don't let Jesus Christ's righteousness rule. Or they're not saved, one or the other, which either way, there's no peace. There's no peace in their heart. Okay? So the name of Jesus we see in Melchizedek right off the bat. The King of Righteousness, ruling in the king of the kingdom of Salem, which means peace. Okay? Quickly. Number two, you don't have to go back to Hebrews just yet. We see in this same verse, we see in Melchizedek, the city of Jesus. Okay? Remember, Melchizedek reigned as king of Salem, and this later became known as Jerusalem. Jerusalem? Jerusalem? Get it? Jerusalem? Okay. Well, all that means is the city of peace. The city of peace. Okay? This is the city where Jesus will establish his kingdom as King of Kings one day.
Amen.
Amen. Look with me in Ezekiel. You're over there in Isaiah. Look in Ezekiel 43. Ezekiel 40 through 48 is all prophecies about the coming kingdom and the millennial temple. There's going to be a temple in Jerusalem, right? That for the millennial reign of 1,000 years, where Jesus Christ is going to be seated on the throne of David. Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 1. Afterward, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. Now that's the gate in the Jerusalem wall. And this is future, okay? And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, the eastern gate. And his voice was like the noise of many waters, and the earth shined. Look at that. With his glory. That is a future prophecy of the coming kingdom.
Yeah.
The earth shining with the glory of our God. By the way, it's Jesus.
Amen.
But he said it's the God of Israel. He's the same person. Look in verse 3. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision which I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Kibar, and I fell upon my face. Oh, look in verse 4. And the glory of the Lord, that's Jehovah right there, amen. The glory of Jehovah God, Lord God Almighty, came into the house, that's the temple, by the way of the gate whose prospect is toward the east. Now, that is future prophecy. Let me show you a picture up here. This right here, dearly beloved, is a picture of Jerusalem right now. Okay? This is a Muslim mosque. This is what they call the Dome on the Rock. The Dome of the Rock. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, here's Jerusalem, the city of David, the city of the great king, Zion, the city of God. Here, smack dab in the middle of it, is Ishmael's rebellious group. Okay? Now, here's what I'm trying to say to you is this. Okay? Right here, during this millennial reign, this thing is going to be gone. Okay? And there's going to sit a glorious new millennial temple right here where this is sitting now. Now, I want to show you this. This is, it's hard to see. This is the Jerusalem wall right here. This is the Eastern Gate. Okay? And I know you need magnifying glasses there in the back. But this is the Eastern Gate. If you can see it, it is completely walled up. It is bricked up and mortared and concrete. It's closed. It's closed tight. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. Back in like 685, I think it was, the Turkish Muslims heard about this prophecy right here in Ezekiel, and they walled up the Eastern Gate, thinking they're going to keep Jesus from coming back. Now, there are seven steps that lead up to this gate, by the way. Seven, of course, is God's number. But I circled this right over here. You can see it right if you lift it close enough. There, right above the wall over here is the tip of this dome. Yeah. You can see it right in this circle over here. What I'm saying is, see, he's going to come through this Eastern Gate and go right into the temple, just like Ezekiel 43 says.
Amen.
But all of this is going to be different. Amen.
Amen.
But look how hard the devil's fighting. Amen. Look how hard the devil's fighting because he knows that this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay? But dearly beloved, listen to me tonight. Melchizedek in his name, the King of Righteousness, coming in through the Eastern Gate, and the whole earth is going to shine with his glory. And hey, hallelujah, I'm going to be there. Amen. I'm going to be there. Now, I've never been to Israel. If you guys want to write me a check for $3,200, Brother Way is taking a group of people. I'm just kidding. Don't do it. Okay. A group of people to Israel in January. And I'll take you with me if you got another $3,200. But I've never been there. But listen, I'm going to be there one day. Amen. And this thing is going to be gone. This little protrusion over here is not going to be there anymore. And this Eastern Gate is going to be blown wide open. And the glory of God is going to come right through there and sit on the throne of David in the millennial temple.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to me. The city of Jesus, that's still God's city. That's still God's city. And how about our president moving the capital back where it belongs? Amen. Glory to God. Listen to me. It's happening, folks. It's going to happen. It's right here. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. Quickly, in Melchizedek, we also see the offices of Jesus. Remember, Melchizedek was the king of Salem, king of righteousness. He was the priest of the Most High God. And remember, I told you he was prophesying about Israel. That prophecy, by the way, was this right here. That's what that prophecy was in Genesis 14. He said the possessor of all the earth. What's going to happen is, see, when Jesus rules and reigns from this, well, it's not going to be this, but from this kingdom over here in Jerusalem, listen, he's going to rule as king of the Jews. Yes, the earth, but the Jews. He's going to reign as king of the Jews over all the earth. So what I'm saying to you is the offices of Jesus came as prophet the first time. Okay. Remember he said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand." That was prophecy. The kingdom of God is here. I am the kingdom. If you're not in me, you're not going to be in the kingdom. Remember he said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." He hadn't done that yet. Amen. But when that happens, amen, this is what I'm talking about. When that happens, that's prophecy. So Jesus was a prophet. Now, he went back to heaven after his death on the cross. He resurrected. He went back to heaven. Now he's priest. Amen. He's the high priest. He's interceding for you and me. Everybody, listen, everybody that ever been saved in this world is because they had to go through Jesus Christ. There was one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man, Christ Jesus, my high priest. Amen. Listen, but listen, when he's coming back, he's coming back to rule and reign as king of all the world. So Melchizedek, king, priest, prophet, nobody else is, listen, only Jesus.
Amen.
We see Jesus in his offices. We see Jesus also in the work that Melchizedek did. Remember, Melchizedek ministered to Abraham. He brought him bread and wine. I mean, he ministered. He served him. Yeah. Here's a king. Listen now. A king serving a little man, Abraham, who was nobody. He's a stranger in a strange land.
Yep.
He's from the Ur of Chaldea. He doesn't even belong here.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Are you listening to me? Here's the king of all heaven, amen, coming down and serving you and me, amen, giving us himself,
amen,
giving us his daily bread, amen, giving us the water from the rock, giving you and me all that we ever needed, serving. He said, I did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life. That's our Savior. That's what Melchizedek did. He came to Abraham, nobody. Here's a king. What does the king have to do with Abraham? He didn't care about Abraham, but he did, because he was a servant, amen. Melchizedek ministered to God's people through Abraham. Look in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Excuse me. Luke chapter 24, verse 51. He not only ministered to God's people through Abraham, remember, he gave Abraham that food and that drink, but he also blessed God's people as he blessed Abraham. Remember, he blessed Abraham. Look in Luke 24, 51. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. That's Jesus blessing his disciples. Hey, look, that's Jesus blessing those that are following him.
Yeah.
That's Jesus openly blessing them before he went back to heaven. That blessing still stands today. Hallelujah. Now, this is not to the Jews as Jews. This is to his church. Amen. His disciples, you and me.
Yeah, buddy.
We see. Listen, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Jesus blessing us.
Yeah.
That doesn't compute.
Right.
Jesus blessing us. Blessing sinners. But listen, that's all he has ever done.
Yes.
That's all he wants to do. Anybody that doesn't receive those blessings is because they don't want them, or because they don't know about them, or because they don't understand how to get them. But the point of the matter is, that's all God won't ever wanted to do is bless Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
I mean, think about everything he gave them in that Garden of Eden.
Yeah, right.
He gave them everything. He gave them everything.
Amen.
I mean, Adam didn't even have to worry about a mother-in-law. Hallelujah. Talk about a blessing right there. Glory to God. I mean, he blessed him eternally. It was their own fault that they fell.
Amen.
Boy, oh boy. Think about what God's doing in our life. How much has God blessed you? How much does the Lord Jesus Christ bless you every day? I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about God Almighty. I'm talking the one who's going to reign and his glory is going to fill the whole earth. He has time to bless you.
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm having a good time. This is good. Melchizedek, not only did he serve Abraham, but he blessed Abraham. Listen, and because he was glorifying God.
That's right.
Look in John chapter 17. John chapter 17. I'm trying to contain myself. Y'all pray for me. About to lose my voice, having a good time. Just enjoying, amen, celebrating Jesus.
Amen.
Look in John chapter 17, verse 4. He says, Jesus speaking, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You understand something? That's Jesus doing the exact same thing that Melchizedek did way back there in Genesis chapter 14. He was glorifying God. He knew that the work of the gospel, the work of the salvation of our souls, was all God's plan, was all because of God's inventions, and it was all God's will that he come and give his life for sinners like you and me. And listen, he came and he did it, and he glorified God every step of the way.
Amen.
Woo! I'm talking about Jesus, amen. He blessed us. He served us. Why? Because it glorified God, because he created us.
Amen.
Man, I'm talking about Jesus.
Amen.
Y'all pray for me. I'm trying to contain myself. I'm about to have a fit up here, amen. In Melchizedek, number 5, and don't worry how many there are. In Melchizedek, we see the number next, the provision. The provision of Jesus. Think about this. Melchizedek brought bread and wine for Abraham.
Yep.
Bread of life.
Yep.
Living water. The wine, the precious blood of Jesus.
Amen.
What did Jesus say at the Last Supper? He said, "This is my body."
Yep.
What was it?
Bread.
Yep.
"This
is my body broken for you. Take, eat. This do in remembrance of me." What did he say about the cup of grape juice? What did he say? "This is my blood shed for the remission of sins."
Amen. Yeah.
You see Jesus in this thing?
Amen.
You see Melchizedek here? Now listen, his body was broken, not his bones. His body was broken. His blood was shed, listen, for the remission and the cleansing of my sins. Jesus provided for my salvation through those two things right there. The broken body, the shed blood. That's the Lord's Supper. Melchizedek started the whole thing. I mean, I'm telling you folks, listen, Jesus is all over this thing. The provision of Jesus Christ, we had no hope. For there is no salvation, there is no other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Listen to me. Except that ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance towards God, yes, but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God is not enough. There had to be shed blood for our souls. There had to be a broken body, a sacrificed lamb on that old rugged cross, amen, to give himself a ransom, sacrifice, give himself an offering for sins for God, to pay for our wretched souls. He provided the way, didn't he? He provided the way. He opened the door because he is the door, amen. He provided the way. He is the good shepherd, amen. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life, amen. He is the light of the world. Glory to God. I'm talking about Jesus. He provided for our soul's salvation. Man, hallelujah. I want you to see, now go back with me to Hebrews. I'm almost done. Hebrews chapter 7. I want you to see verse 3. In Melchizedek, we've seen the name of Jesus, King of Righteousness, the city of Jesus, King of Salem, the offices, prophet, priest, and king. We've seen the work of Jesus serving, blessing, and glorifying God, the provision of Jesus for our soul's salvation. But I want you to see in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 7, without father, speaking of Melchizedek, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. I want you to see in Melchizedek, we also see the mystery of Jesus. The mystery of Jesus. There's a very mysterious aspect in Melchizedek still in the way that God presents him to us.
Yep.
Without father, he's talking about Melchizedek. Okay, without father, without mother, no beginning, no end, no parents, just there, then gone. Boop, and then gone. Listen, look in Hebrews chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Speaking of Jesus. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. There it is. Unto all them that obey him.
Amen.
Note, called of God, again, and high priest after the order of Melchizedek,
yep.
Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. That's referring to Melchizedek. What do you mean, preacher? I'm saying there's still things we don't know about Melchizedek.
Right.
Some things about this man we won't understand till we get to heaven.
Amen.
But listen, what we're talking about here is that we really shout and rejoice and love it, but we really don't understand everything about Jesus either.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
We never will.
Yeah.
His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. His ways are so much higher than our ways. Listen, virgin birth.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man.
Sinless life.
Yeah.
I mean, not even the thought
yeah.
of foolishness. We can't figure that out.
Right.
How about resurrection?
Yeah. Man.
How about death? God dying. How? How about his ascension back to heaven? All of a sudden, he's just floating back up. How about the rapture?
Yeah.
He's coming back to the clouds. He's the trump of God and the voice of the... How about the fact that he's all God and all man?
Right.
Yep.
You don't understand all that. You don't understand all that.
That's right.
You don't, and I don't either.
That's right.
There's still some things... Listen, how about the fact that he's the God of David, but he's the son of David? He's the son of God. He's the son of man. How about the fact that he's... Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 6, quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 6, a few pages back. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's look in verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, amen, and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting, amen. Now wait a minute. What? No man can approach unto, no man has seen nor can see, but yet thousands of people saw Jesus. He's visible, knowable. I mean, good night, they talked to him. He touched them, they touched him, they ate together, they laughed together, they wept together, they prayed together. But here it says, Jesus Christ, no man has seen nor can see. We don't understand it all.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 13:12 says, for now we see through a glass darkly. But then, listen, but then, hallelujah, but then, face to face. Face to face. Face to face I shall behold him. For now I know in part, it says, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. I'm going to know Jesus as well as I know myself. Now, I hope I know him even better than that. But the point of this is, Melchizedek has still got some mysteries in there that God just says, I'm not telling you everything. And listen, there's enough about Jesus in here to know that we can't know everything. What does that mean? What does that mean to us? What that means is this, that we need to realize that we'll never attain to his righteousness on our own, that we could never ever come to him on our own merit. And we'll never be able to say, okay, I've learned it all now.
Right.
Bring me the next book, Lord. No way, it's never going to happen.
Right.
The rest of our lives, we're going to be studying and digging and weeping and praying and shouting, Lord, I'm glad I never saw that before. And studying and digging. And sometimes it's going to be dry. And sometimes it's going to be laborious. And sometimes it's going to be hallelujah. Oh, glory, I'm running around the house, shouting up and down, singing a song. I'm leaping for joy. God just showed me. God just gave me a precious kiss on the cheek. Amen. He showed me his face.
Amen.
But listen, there's no end to the unsearchable riches of our Christ. And finally, this is one you were waiting for. Finally, between Abraham and Melchizedek, I want you to remember now, Jesus, righteousness and peace, ruling from Jerusalem, where the Muslims are now trying to sit on his mountain, prophet, priest, and king, as none other will ever be. Jesus ministers to us, blesses us, he glorifies God in everything that he does. Think about that. Wow. He bore our sins on his own body on that tree. He shed his precious blood for our atonement to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's so much greater than we could ever even comprehend.
That's right. That's right.
His magnitude and his glory.
Yeah.
Now listen, finally, what does God want us to learn here? What did Abraham do? He gave him tithes of all.
Yeah.
Now you're not shouting right now. What's the deal? Why aren't you excited about that one?
Come on.
Amen.
He gave him tithes. He had just won the battle. The Bible says he took all the spoils.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he had him and his 318 servants, man, them and their donkeys were loaded down with goods. I mean, stuff. I mean, material wealth.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
And he said, guys, go through every one of your bags and grab me at least 10% of everything. Yeah. And we're giving it to Melchizedek.
Amen.
The king.
Amen.
Folks, listen to me. Jesus is so much better than Melchizedek.
Amen.
But we sure do see a lot of Jesus in him.
Amen.
Jesus is the real thing.
Amen.
Not just a type.
Amen. That's right.
But Melchizedek teaches us quite a bit about our Savior. Listen. And how we should live our lives. Listen, a tithe is, yes, it's money. But understand something. It's the bare minimum. It's just the bare scratching of the surface.
Yes, sir. Amen.
If Abraham would give tithes of all of that to this man, what does Jesus deserve?
Yeah.
I mean, everything I just read to you and talked to you and studied about in the Bible, I don't know about you, but my heart is thrilled,
amen,
stirred, changed, helped. But in return, the result's going to be what?
Amen.
I mean, we think about missions conference. We think about serving the Lord. We think about anything that we do for the Lord. The song says, by and by, when I look on his hands, nail-scarred hands, by and by, when I look on his face, thorn-riven brow. The song says, by and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I'd have given him more.
Yeah,
that's right. Yep.
Amen, brother. Hallelujah. That's right.
How many times we say, no, Lord, that's too much. No, Lord, I can't. And he's a gracious God, and he says, okay. But we're cutting off our own nose to spite our face.
That's right.
You understand? God had just given Abraham that victory with 318 little servants with their sticks and their machetes, but their faith in God. And then they said, okay, God, here, it's all yours, thank you. I think Abraham probably said, wow, you know, Melchizedek, I see Jesus in you.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you'd bless your word tonight. Oh, Lord, what a blessing it is to draw closer to our Savior, to see the things that maybe we hadn't seen before in this study of Melchizedek. Oh, Lord, what a sweet, sweet time of fellowship in your Spirit, around your Word. Lord, help us tonight to be more thankful. Oh, God, I pray you'd help us tonight to lay down anything and everything that's hindering our fellowship with you. Lord, if there be one here tonight, Father, who's fighting a call on their life for the ministry, if there be one here tonight, Lord God, who's fighting even their own salvation, Lord God, help them to see Jesus tonight. Lord, help them to see the glory, the grace, the power. Oh, Father, please bless your people tonight. Thank you for this great time together. In Jesus' name.